Once you're on the road and you're truly by yourself, you're driving for, up to like 12 hours. You spend that long alone just thinking by yourself, knowing that you are the one person that was able to do this and nobody else, no matter how much they love you, care about you, anything like that. At the end of the day, you are like the one that's alone behind the wheel, essentially soul searching. It's also quite therapeutic, but it is still extremely difficult. It's really hard.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, I'm speaking with Blaze Porter. Now, she's better known as Baby Blaze Online. She is, I guess, the best way to describe her is just an internet personality, an influencer, if you will. She kind of combines two things that I've talked to people about before, the world of rave and then also the world of van life. So she kind of got her claim to fame as somebody who goes to raves, dresses in all these really kind of cool costumes, does her makeup, all this kind of stuff. And she gained a following, just people wanting to see the makeup she was doing, the costume she was wearing, and that kind of just extended out into something bigger and bigger. And then at some point too, the timeline I'm not completely clear on, but at some point she decided to buy a van and she converted it into something that she can stay in. She's not a van lifer in the sense that some where they just sold everything and go and live in a van full time. I think that she went on a few months long trips down the West Coast for sure, and a lot of other places. It's a little bit more of a basic build van. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the world of rave. We're going to talk about what makes her so excited about that. We're going to talk about her building out her van and the trials and triumphs there. She has a mechanical background. She was a mechanic before she started all this, which is really awesome. So she's got a leg up there when it comes to building that van. We're going to talk about her journey around. I know that she went from Washington down through California and Arizona and all kinds of different places. We'll talk about the ups and downs of traveling in the van. And then we're going to talk about the ups and downs of just being a social media influencer. I feel like, that comes with a lot of really cool things, being able to work with different companies as sponsorship opportunities, definitely in the world of rave. She's got some sponsors there, but it also comes with, some headache too. The more people you have following you, the more people you have that also like to try to drag you down. We're going to talk about what she does to try to curb that and let it not affect her. Really fun conversation. I really, really enjoyed speaking with Blaze. I think you're going to enjoy it as well. I guess a little bit of housekeeping. This podcast has been going for, oh goodness, almost 4 years, and I have not really missed a week. But this time I've decided after this episode, we're going to take 2 weeks off. And the reason is not because there's not interviews to release. It's because this podcast releases every Wednesday. And the day that Christmas falls this year is a Wednesday, and that means 7 days later is New Year's Day. So I don't think it makes sense to release a podcast on Christmas, and I don't think it makes sense to release a podcast on New Year's Day. So we're going to skip the next 2 weeks. So you listen to this the week it comes out. You've got another 2 weeks before another one comes. Hopefully you're a longtime listener and this even matters to you. If not, and you're just somebody listening because of Blaze, maybe it won't even matter. But I do think you're really going to enjoy this one. All of the links to her information is in the show notes. The links to this podcast is in the show notes as well. Really appreciate those who haven't already. Go subscribe or follow along on Apple and on Spotify. Leave that 5-star review. Leave a written review on Apple. That helps a ton. Go follow along on Instagram, Not Enough Podcast, on TikTok, Not Enough Podcast, Not Enough with Jackson F on Facebook. All those places. Really appreciate you. But here is Blaze Porter. Miss Porter, how are you?
Doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm gonna just let you do the heavy lifting. Introduce yourself if you would.
Right, well, my name is Blaze. I go by Baby Blaze on Instagram. I am a social media content creator, specifically within the EDM or rave community. I do a little bit of everything, whether it be like lifestyle regarding, traveling, modeling with rave outfits, and when I get lucky, I can promote for specific events or artists. And yeah, that's me. That's basically my whole shebang.
I love it. We're gonna break down all of that. So, I mean, the two big things we're gonna talk about is van life and then also rave. I've talked to people in both worlds before, but I always like to just hear different people's experiences. So let's start with raves. Let's kind of break it down. If somebody, this is the first time they've listened to any episode I've ever had anybody who talks about it, tell us what raves are and kind of what your I guess spot in that community is.
Yeah, so what I consider as raves is essentially any EDM. EDM stands for electronic dance music, based event. There's quite a divide between the actual definition of a rave versus just an EDM event, because the rave scene originated as very underground, basically just whoever told whoever else, and that's how you know where the event is. Some of the best events that I've been to have been coordinates, not like a advertised event, but it's essentially the same thing in my opinion. Yeah, I've always loved electronic dance music, even since I was, super young, listening to Skrillex, Odessa, Brills before he became LS Dream. And I just knew that I always wanted to attend one. I hold the EDM community very close to my heart because they're just very loving and accepting of anyone that comes in. As long as you fall under the code of conduct for raves, which is plur, peace, love, unity, respect, and responsibility, you're more than welcome to, attend these things. So it's a good place for, I guess, people that feel like they don't have a home to have a home. Joining people that are just so full of love. We are all united under the same love of just music, expression, creativity. You can show up, be in your craziest outfit, and more likely than not, someone's gonna be like, yo, you look super cool. So that's what really made me fall in love with it. I never expected to end up being a creator within the community. The way that I got into that, honestly, it's a little underwhelming, but still, it's a story. Basically, when the pandemic hit, I was working full time as a mechanic. I've always worked on cars my entire life. I was raised by mainly my dad, who's a jack of all trades, mechanic, plumbing, electrician, anything like that. So I got bored over the pandemic. I missed my friends, and I finally downloaded TikTok. And that was in about 2020. I just started making these silly, goofy videos. And over time, they started gaining traction. I realized very quickly that the EDM community is so kind, outgoing. Everyone just sort of hypes each other up. And as my exposure grew, I started getting noticed by, whether it just be like clothing brands or like accessories. It started pretty small, and then it grew to artists noticing me, events noticing me, and basically piggybacking off of, hey, you have exposure, and that's what we want. So it's basically just a sort of barter system as it started, but it's had a sort of like snowball effect into turning into like an actual job, something that's sustaining. It's constantly going. I'm constantly reaching out or having people reach out to me, and I just sort of go from there, and I get to go to really cool things and look really cool. And it all just started from TikTok. So
That's I like that. Were you already going to rave events before, I guess before people started reaching out and you have that, that You did, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been listening to the music since I was probably, 13, 12, 13, 14. I'm 23 now. Actually, my birthday is in less than a week. I'm going to be turning 24.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you so much. But yeah, I've been listening to the music for a long time, and I'd always wanted to go to an event. But a lot of events, I grew up in Seattle. So a lot of those events out there are 18 plus. So my first show was on my 18th birthday. It was Nightmare performing at the Tacoma Dome for an event called Nightmare Before Christmas. My birthday is December 8th. Pretty fitting. So I walked up, handed the lady my ID, and she said, "Oh, happy birthday. Have a good time." And I didn't think I could love this music more than I already did, but actually experiencing the show, the crowd, the whole community of it just made me absolutely fall in love. So yeah, but it wasn't until I was about 20 years old when I really indulged in the social media aspect of it, which has grown into the job that I have today.
I love that. And the people that I've talked to in the rave community, they've kind of came at it in two different ways. One of them was a rave costume designer, an outfit designer, and we talked all about that. And then I also talked to somebody who is into shuffle dance and does that type of thing. So I want to ask you, I guess, your place in all of it, because I know that, I've seen your Instagram, I've seen your TikToks, and you've got some really cool outfits. So let's, I, and I don't know whether we're calling them outfits or costumes or what it is, but do you make them yourself? Talk a little bit about that, because I know that's a huge, and you've already mentioned it, so it's a huge part of that community.
So I must wholeheartedly admit I have no skill when it comes to creating like the actual outfits. I used to make like jewelry and stuff, but I mean I could probably still do it, but that's never really what I indulged in with this. I'd say above all, I kind of joke about this with my friends because they say, "Oh, you're an influencer." I'm like, honestly, I feel like I'm more of an overglorified comedian because if you look at like my page and what I do mostly, it's just comedy relatable things. I'd say my biggest skill asset that I personally have is my makeup. I have definitely inspired a lot of people with the makeup looks I usually do. Now is not a great time to, I mean, I'm not wearing anything right now. I've just been in work mode all day, but I do very much enjoy designing and creating these extra over-the-top makeup looks. Like since I was very young, I did theater makeup in high school. I worked at a haunted house for years and years on end, so I got really into special effects. So I love seeing like album artwork or just songs that like artists create or even just like tapestries, stuff like this, and sort of rendering it to, execute on someone's face. And I'm huge into that. And I've noticed that I've inspired a lot of people to go that sort of route. I love it when people come up to me at shows and they tell me, "Oh my gosh, you made me laugh so hard. You made me feel like it was so relatable. Your videos are so funny." Regarding the comedy side of it, which is what I got started off of. But then recently, within the last like year or two, I have people come up to me at shows and they're wearing a makeup look that I created. And they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's you. Look what I did." Or I'll get DMs, direct messages over Instagram. And they're like, "I loved your makeup. I did it." And that's definitely what makes my heart the absolute happiest is that I inspired someone to not really care about looking normal. My fashion has always been pretty out there. I've never been capable of creating clothes myself, but the best thing that I can do, I love art, I love drawing. So the best thing that I could do on myself is my makeup. So seeing that I could inspire others to do the same type of deal, it makes my heart so happy and I don't know. It just makes me all giddy. Feel like a
It has to feel really cool for sure if people are looking at what you're doing and not just enjoying it but emulating it. I think that has to be cool for sure. I want to kind of ask you, obviously you said you don't make the costumes, but you still wear some pretty cool ones. What's it look like on the other end from people I've talked to when it comes to the dance? Do you do any kind of specific dancing or just whatever, however the music reaches you at that moment?
It's basically just however it reaches me. One thing that I've noticed that people enjoy about me, you know, I mean, I used to do like hip hop dancing. I was in gymnastics for a while, so I guess I already have like a sort of flow in me. Regarding dancing, I love to use this. It's a flow toy. It's called a space whip or a pixel whip. I unfortunately lost mine. I recently moved from Seattle to Washington a couple months ago, and I lost my whip in the move, but I really do enjoy doing that. It's basically like a 6-foot fiber optic whip, and it looks really cool. But at the end of the day, I don't care if I look absolutely insane. Like in my videos, sometimes I'll do like promotion for artists and songs, and I'm just jamming out, doing my thing. And it helps people feel the like sense of freedom of like, okay, wait, this is acceptable to look absolutely crazy. Like, yes, it is. Like I just want people to enjoy themselves and their existence at the absolute fullest that they possibly can. So yeah, I'm like shockingly unskilled for having like this platform that I have. Again, I'm just funny and I kind of do my thing. I don't expect to impress everybody, but if people like what I'm doing and they, you know, want to keep seeing it, then that's great. So yeah, that's kind of the point where I'm at.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people that have went quote unquote viral or even really popular memes. And I mean, the common theme is they weren't necessarily trying to make this happen. So I feel like that's probably what's endeared people to you, that you're not, you know, you weren't trying to make everything perfect. I think people like that rawness for sure. So I guess a more difficult question, because obviously the world of rave is a fun one. You just mentioned about how much you enjoy it, but you talked about how it's kind of your job now. Do you still enjoy the entire process? These other people I've talked to, they're like, yeah, I still like rave, but you know, now that I'm hired and I have to go to 54 of them a year, I mean, it's a little tiring.
Yeah, it can definitely get to be a lot, but I still enjoy it regardless. I honestly, I prefer to not work at shows. I actually really do not enjoy being on my phone at shows. I like to show up if I'm in an outfit, you know, if like a brand or company, whatever business sent me an outfit, I get in, get my pictures, and then I proceed to have the time of my life. A lot of the times, you know, I have to get my own tickets to go to these shows. Sometimes I'm sent out by the show and then I have to make more content, which yeah, it piles up. It gets to be a lot. Like, for example, earlier this year in June or July, I was sent to LA for Beyond Wonderland SoCal. I was out there for iHeart Raves and Beatbox. Most of the time we were in the show, we were running around trying to get pictures, content, this, that. And we'd have maybe like a couple, like 2-3 hours at the end of the day to actually see the sets that we wanted. And I'd be lying if I said that it didn't stress me out, like needing to do all that. I mean, I still enjoyed every second of it. I was very, very grateful. But it's a lot, you know. I prefer to go to these shows to enjoy the experience, enjoy the music. That's what made me want to be part of this community, is just the overall experience, not necessarily working it. If you go through my page, you'll notice 90% of my content is at home. Or if I'm just taking pictures, it's at just close by places where I can get pictures of my outfit. But once I'm in a show, I like to really just lock in, have a good time, meet people, trade candy, compliment people's outfits, and all of the above. So yeah, it's definitely a balance. There are 100% some creators that are just advertise, get that money, you know, do the thing, and then get out. But for me, it's about the actual experience. And that's not any shade or any, you know, putting down those types of creators. Like, I get it. Not my jam necessarily. You know, when I'm at the show, I want to do what I'm there for, which is for the music, for spreading love, for encouraging people and supporting the artists that created this music that brought us all together. So
Yeah, no, I like that. So we've talked about rave. We're going to talk, kind of move into the next area, but before we do that, we're going to play a little bit of a game, if you will. It's I call it rapid fire, no
Okay.
follow-up. So I'm going to ask you some quick questions. Rapid fire, no follow-up. Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. So you're in a hurry. You head to your favorite fast food restaurant. What's your favorite fast food restaurant and what's your go-to order?
Favorite fast food, I would have to say is Five Guys. I like to get the little bacon cheeseburger. Two patties is just a little too much, but I do like some bacon, so
I
yeah.
like it. You have $3 to spend. What are you spending it on?
Probably a Red Bull.
Dogs or cats?
I mean, dogs, but if I could really choose, then rats, because I have two rats.
I like that. No follow-up, but I will tell you something afterwards. And this is an interesting one for you, given what we're going to talk about here in a minute, but where's one place that you've never visited that you've always wanted to go?
Norway.
Socks and sandals, yes or no?
Okay. Usually, yes.
It's the wrong answer.
Maybe.
No. Well, let's talk about music. Another interesting one for you, given that your whole world is in music, but I guess it makes it a little bit more difficult. But tell me a song when it comes on, it gets you pumping, it makes you want to do those crazy dances, and then conversely, something that you're just like, I hate this. It makes me turn the channel.
I'd have to say a song that, oh man, that is a loaded question. My whole life is music. A song that really gets me pumped, probably Lockdown by Excision and Wooly. It's like a really aggressive, headbanging song. Oh my gosh. They also recently dropped a song. Excision, Wooly, and Ganja White Knight released a song called Rapid Fire. That's been getting me like crazy lately. But yeah, a song that will make me just wanna, I guess, change the channel is, it's a weird one because I love it, but I kind of hate it. I'd have to say Walk on Water by Slander. It's basically just, in a sense, it seems like a breakup song at the surface. The whole chorus is, I would walk on water to get back to you. But for me, it hits a little extra deep because I had a really close friend of mine pass away a couple years ago. So anytime I hear it, you know, half the time I'll be like, nope, not crying right now. But the other half of the time, I'm like, okay, I need to feel this right now.
Yeah, I had a feeling that the music that you're going to mention would be things I have never heard of, but I'm glad. I'm going to have to check it out for sure. I guess I want to stop on two things that you mentioned, even though it's the game's over, but even though it's no follow up. Rats are awesome. I worked at a pet store when I was in college, and I agree. Rats are super cool. But the thing I don't like about them, and this is a terrible topic to mention, but they're so awesome, but they have such a short lifespan.
Lifespan.
They live like
Yeah.
2 years. It
I know.
stinks.
I've had mine for about a year at this point, and I'm like, oh, my boys. Like, but they're the sweetest thing. They're incredibly smart, they're incredibly sanitary, and they're just super sweet creatures overall. I feel like they get a bad rap because people are like, ew, a rat? But it's like, listen, they're cool. They're so cool.
I'm with you.
So.
I love rats. I love rats. And then I guess the question that you were so confused about was the socks and sandals thing, and how that's a terrible thing to do, and you were so easily persuaded to go against it. What's your true feelings on this, Blaze?
Wait, like literal socks or sandals? Wait, socks
What
with
do
sandals or?
you? Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's.
What do you
Oh
think
my
I'm
God.
asking you? Whether you
I
wear
thought
sandals
you
and
were
whether you wear
using
socks?
socks and sandals as a metaphor and then just saying yes or no as the question, as like just
No.
in a pinch, yes or no.
Literal,
Socks and
literal.
sandals? Ooh, I say no. Like, okay, at the end of the day, sorry, let me correct my answer. Because I'm usually down to roll with like whatever. I didn't realize it was literally socks or sandals or socks with sandals.
Right.
No, usually that's a hard no for me because like anytime that I'm wearing sandals, you know, I don't look like it, but in my heart, in my core, I guess for lack of a better term, I'm kind of a hippie. Anytime I'm wearing sandals, I'm at the river or I'm in nature, and I do not mind the feeling of like dirt on my feet, sand between my toes. I know it's pretty gross for some people, but you know, born and raised in Washington in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of rivers, a lot of beaches, mountains and stuff. And I was the type of kid where, or even adult, where I'd go to these spots and just take my shoes off and just walk barefoot. So, you know, socks with sandals, unless you're like getting your mail, no.
I think the issue is and. I think I need to switch it to with. So from now on, definitely. Everyone's going to get with.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let's move into van life.
Yes.
You know, again, I always like to just tell, you know, the guests of who I've talked to and kind of what the listeners already heard. So I've talked to people that do the female solo van life before. I've talked to a couple that converted a bus. I talked to another person who travels around the country doing Reiki sessions in her van. So I've talked to quite a few van life people. My passion is travel as well. I've never done the van life thing, but you know, I do love travel. So I have had a lot of people on that's talked about this, but I want to talk, I guess, about your decision to, join that community as well. That's a tough one. There's so many people that are listening to this and thinking, oh, that sounds so cool. I'm one of them, but I just couldn't do that. I have a full-time job, or I don't think I could rough it in, you know, a national park like that. Just talk about what made you decide to do that. And I think yours is a little bit different because from what my understanding is, you're not necessarily always doing the national parks. Aren't you kind of going to raves and stuff like that? So you're doing it in a little different way.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. To events. I don't know, kind of an interesting story as to how I came to really get to this point. A bit emotional, so sorry if I choke up a little bit. I'm going to take you back to the beginning, prepare to lock in for a whole story time. So, previously I'd spoken about a friend of mine that had passed away. He was an absolute hippie, one of the best people you would ever meet in your entire life. And he lived out of a van. I've known him since I was pretty young. And he had a van, and he'd always wanted to like take me on his adventures and stuff, but I just always had other things to do, whether it be like work, relationships. Like, I had so much love in my heart for this man, and as he did for me, but I had other things that I needed to do, and our lifestyles just didn't quite align properly. But anytime that I would, you know, go on these little mini adventures with him, we'd go to Renegades, basically just like small events in the middle of the woods that were just set up by people. There's a huge renegade and nomad community within Washington. There's dozens of people that just pop up and down along the mountains and sort of just go where the wind takes them. I was always fascinated by that concept, but I was very locked down by my, you know, just work, needing to work to survive. And then he passed, which was super sad. And he, you know, one thing that we like, I'd always wanted to do was like go and do that van life sort of thing. And then he was gone. His van was gone, and it shattered my heart. So I was very locked down in one location. I just kept working, doing my thing out in Seattle. And almost exactly 1 year after he passed, I was very emotional. It was a very hard time to get through. It's almost worse anticipating like the first anniversary of someone's death than it is like the, when you find out, you know, that they're gone. Cause then you're just knowing, thinking. The last thing that I ever said to him was, I'll talk to you later. And then I'm never going to talk to him again. And he was one of my best friends. Like, tell him all the time, like, you're a soulmate. Like, might not be romantically, but, and he knew what I was talking about, and he would say the same thing to me, tell each other we loved each other every day. But yeah, I didn't leave the house for weeks leading up to his death, and within 1 week of his death anniversary, I finally left the house, and I went to go visit my friend at this coffee stand she worked at. This point I was working remote full-time, which made it even harder because I truly had no excuse to leave the house, but I just pried myself out of bed, drove down this road 6 minutes to this coffee stand, and I saw that van that I own now with a for sale sign. I'm like, that's crazy. Kind of glazed over it, but I kept thinking. I'm like, I'm going to come back the next day, see if that's still here. Came back the next day, it was still there. The writing with the price and all the info was a little too small, so I couldn't see it driving by. I'm like, okay, if it's still here tomorrow, I'm going to give myself a budget. And I thought of a number in my head. I'm like, okay, if it's over this amount, I'm not going to get it. Drove up the next day, it was still there, parked behind it, and it was the exact number that I thought in my head. Texted the phone number, gave it a little like drive around, and it was perfect. It was everything that I could ever want. It was still a passenger van. So it's a 2011 Ford Econoline. So basically it had like the two front seats, the two mid seats, and then a bench seat in the back. And it was already carpeted by the previous family that owned it. They would travel a lot, but basically all the kids grew up, graduated, kids were out. They don't need the van anymore. I told them my story and my direction I wanted to go with it. And they actually dropped the price a little bit for me so I could use the rest of that budget that I thought of to convert it. So I took all the seats out, called my dad, the jack of all trades I was talking about, carpenter, mechanic, plumber, electrician, everything. I said, hey, dad, I'm having a hard time being here. I'm just experiencing like severe loss. And I just didn't really feel like I belonged in Washington at that point. Can you help me with one last project? So him and I combined brains. I drew out the full floor plan. He let me use his truck and his shop and his tools and everything. And I built this van, installed a bed, shelves, refrigerator, electronics, motion sensing lights, two extra batteries, solar panels, like everything on it, and made it livable within 2 months. Very up close to what Tyler, my deceased friend, had. And just, you know, putting my head down and working on the van through this sort of mourning period, the exact, like within 1 year after, you know, my friend had passed, helped me really get through it. And I was working remote and I basically just said, screw it, I'm going to disappear. So for 3 months, I was on the road by myself, went from Seattle all the way down the West Coast to LA, popped into Vegas, went to Arizona for a festival. Stayed in Arizona for a couple weeks longer because, you know, I already had the social media presence. Promoters, people, brands realized, oh, you're in Arizona. Here are these events. So I stayed for three consecutive weeks in Arizona, three festivals, three back-to-back weekends. Came up here to Colorado, which is where I'm currently based. And again, spent 3 weeks, three consecutive weekends of shows. And then I went out to Salt Lake City because while I was in Colorado, there's a artist called BTSM or Black Tiger Sex Machine, really awesome DJ duo, realized where I was and invited me out to a Halloween show and in Salt Lake City. So then I drove out to Salt Lake, went back to LA, lived by myself on the coast of Malibu, and then just came back to Seattle. So it was an absolute shot in the dark, like a full leap of faith. And it was terrifying to leave. I actually have a video of when I started up my van and pulled out of my driveway and I'm crying, like I'm sobbing. I look like a crazy person, but it was the best thing that I've ever done for myself. I was at such a mental low. I needed an escape. You know, I never asked for social media to be my full-time job. And it, you know, obviously I'll never compare it to like, you know, a police officer, or like a 911 operator, or like a hospice nurse. I can imagine that stuff is horrible. I could never handle that. But my mental health was not ever built to process how much awful things I have to consume working social media full time. And I just needed to get out of this sort of bubble that I was in. I was just in my apartment on my phone, just doom scrolling or making content all day. And it, I don't know what it would have done to me if I stayed. So it basically saved my life. It was not super financially responsible by any means. Like when it comes to doing something like that, again, I keep saying it. It's a leap of faith, but it is worth it. It is a chunk of change. I'm very blessed to have, the job and everything that I have, but it also came with having the skill set that I do. I was working for years as a mechanic. I bought my van and it was already a decade old. It had over 100,000 miles on it, but that didn't bother me. I knew how to install everything and rip out the seats and go full carpenter Barbie mode and build a bed and everything. So that was definitely in my favor. Huge shout out to my dad for raising me the way that he did. But even if you don't have those skill sets, never underestimate what like you as like a human being are capable of once you really set your mind to doing something. And yeah, now I have a fully functional vehicle. It's outside. This apartment that I'm in could burn down tonight, and I know that I will have a fail-safe. I actually just got a new mattress for my van because I found out it was leaking last winter out of the roof, and it rotted my entire mattress and bed frame. So I had to rebuild it a couple months ago, and my new one finally came in. So literally before this call, I had to measure out my new mattress and then like cut it to fit because it's like a very custom size in the back of that van. But it works. That thing's my baby. I put my whole heart and soul into it. I named her Ty after Tyler, my friend that passed, because I never would have thought that I was capable of doing that until I like actually met someone and was so close with someone that did it. It's just having faith in, oh gosh, I'm gonna sound like such a hippie right now, but have faith in the flow of the universe. You will be where you're supposed to be. And if you believe that you're supposed to be somewhere, you will get there. And I truly believe that. So
I appreciate you sharing all of that. I want you to tell us about the I guess you've already talked a little bit about the van. It's a Ecoline. You took out the seats. Talk about, I guess, the your build. I guess you got a custom mattress now, but what's all in there? Because it doesn't sound like you're necessarily doing, the living off the grid thing where you need everything. But what's in your van?
yeah, so it's pretty bare bones for what it is. So I have a bed, custom built. I have a few shelves. I have a little countertop that's behind my driver's seat. So the side doors are on the passenger side. So you open it up on the side, and then there's like that little shelf over here, and then the bed is against the back door. Right up against my driver's seat, there's a fridge. And there's an inverter, which is basically just a very big power source. But because it is a big power source, you can put like actual plugins. It's like a wall plug-in. It doesn't stay on most of the time. Anyway, rewind. You open the doors, and instead of looking to the right by the driver's seat, you look to the left. There's a power panel, which has it's called a converter. So all you need for that, it's like the car plugins. You just need like the it's stuff that can plug in like this.
Yeah.
It is harder to find things that you can wire to it. You tend to have to go to like RV shops or Camping Worlds and stuff. But that's what my refrigerator is powered off of. That's what my lights are powered off of. That converter is being powered by the two batteries that are underneath the bed that are all wired in. Plus, those two batteries are connected to the battery in the engine. So even when the van is off, it's draining the power from the solar panels. So it can last about 3 days. Plus, if I'm driving a distance, it could last maybe up to 5 days. Powering the fridge and the lights, which are currently the only two things hooked up to it. And there's also like little outlets that I can plug things like this into.
So now
Yeah.
we know about your van. What I guess what's the coolest place that you've been in the van? We followed you on your journey from Washington to California, all these places, but what's the coolest experience you've had?
I really enjoyed the scenery of Arizona. The only thing that I didn't like about it is that it's hot as hell. I came from Washington, so it's usually like 40, 50 degrees average, 60 if you're gonna wear shorts, which I know is crazy for a lot of people. But I have to say Colorado, that's why I ended up here. It's the best way I can describe Colorado. It's like Washington with better mountains, no ocean, which is definitely kind of strange. Growing up next to the ocean, I'd hear harbor seals, and now I'm like, I wake up and I hear nothing. I'm super landlocked. There's really nice rivers. Again, really good mountains. I'm a snowboarder, so the mountains are nice. And a lot less of like a homeless population. That's probably what really sold me out here. Not only is it beautiful, you know, Washington's beautiful. It was so hard to walk away from, but it was very difficult for me to go anywhere like in the Seattle or Tacoma area on my own, just out of fear because, you know, just there's a huge like drug problem there, very big homeless population. Just as like a solo female, it is scary. Cost of living is better here as well, and I still get to look at mountains. So yeah, I'd have to say this is probably my favorite place. But still, Arizona, so beautiful. Like, I've never seen a cactus in like a natural growing cactus in person until I was driving through the Grand Canyon, like area, like basically, is it the Grand Canyon? I don't know, it's some sort of canyon. But between Vegas and oh God, what is it? Where was Ursa Major held? Oh, it's north of Prescott, Flagstaff. Between Vegas and Flagstaff, there, it's like a 6 hour drive. Oh my gosh, it was probably the most beautiful scenery I'd ever seen. The first time I saw a cactus growing out of the ground in person, my mind was blown as to how big they are. And that's coming from someone that's literally from the Evergreen State. We have huge trees, but I saw a cactus and I was like, those things are like 15 feet tall. That's insane. And I loved it, you know, just a completely different, like 180 from the scenery that I'm used to being next to the ocean. And then seeing just a desert that's still so full of life and all the rocks and shapes and stuff that were made. Like, I just had never experienced that before. But yeah, Colorado's beautiful because it feels like home away from home. And I also love the snow.
There's got to be something to those states, because it's funny how many van lifers I talk to that mention both Arizona and Colorado. So I think those may be our I guess prettiest states. So I like that you're on board with that too. We talked about the cool parts. What's the most challenging part of being a van lifer? You talked about the solo female travel part. You know, that can be scary at times. I don't know whether that's the hardest part for you, but talk about maybe the hardest parts of that time.
Being alone, 100% being alone. I've known the sense of like fighting for my life, whether it be physically, financially, just being lonely, anything like that. But once you're on the road and you're truly by yourself, you're driving for, you know, up to like 12 hours, sometimes more. I have like a 12-hour limit with breaks in between. But for me, you spend that long alone just thinking by yourself, knowing that you are the one person that was able to do this and nobody else, no matter how much they love you, care about you, anything like that. At the end of the day, you are like the one that's alone behind the wheel, essentially soul searching. It's really hard. It's also quite therapeutic, but it is still extremely difficult. You know, knowing that most people either don't have like the finances or the knowledge or just ability to do the same thing. Because it is a very like out there thing to kind of do. You know, a lot of people like a sense of security, sense of home. I think having the ability to just go and be a nomad is great and it's beautiful, but it gets very lonely and just kind of sad at the end of the day, like after spending so long doing that, it just kind of weighs on you. But on the flip side of the coin, I think it is one of the best things that anyone can do for themselves, like spiritually, therapeutically, mentally. I faced a lot of fears when I was on the road by myself. I used to barely even be able to drive on the freeway. Like when I was really young, I was in an accident, you know, still when I was in like a 5-point like baby car seat, but that haunted me. And I couldn't drive on the freeway. And then one day I turned 21, almost 22, and actually, yeah, no, it was 22 when I went on the road. And I still was mortified to get on the freeway. But I just knew what I had to do, and I bought a van and I said, I'm gonna go drive around the country. And I just did it. It's a really great way to face your fears, but it is very lonely. It's challenging. There's trials. There's times where you're driving, and you're just like, what did I do? Why did I do this? I feel like it's the best way to fight your demons, though, in like a healthy way. Yeah, I'd say loneliness was the hardest part for me. Definitely. I took a lot of videos when I was on the road. Only after I left Colorado. I wish I took them earlier. But I was just kind of having like a point of like personal crisis after being on the road by myself for, you know, over a month and a half at that point. And I'm like, I need someone to talk to, but I have no one to talk to. No one is here. And I got 15 hours until my destination. So I just set up my phone in my cup holder. I didn't even have a phone stand in my van. I just stuck it in the cup holder and just started talking to myself. And I'll go back and rewatch those videos. And I'm like, damn, this is the best form of therapy I think I've ever had, was just kind of needing to like face my demons, cry about being alone. That's all, another reason why I love music. Music helped me get through so. Oh my gosh. Hold on, I'm gonna move you around. I have
Oh
this like
yeah.
sticky pad on the back of my phone. Here, let me know if this messes with my mic at all. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Anyway, like listening to music helped me get through so much of that journey. It was crazy. Like there are times where I'm like, I want to stop. I want to sell my van and get on a plane and go home. But I didn't. Just the so right song would come on right when it needed to, and I would just keep going. It truly makes you realize, like, at the end of the day, you are the only one that is there for you. So you have to be content with being alone. You have to. And I already knew that before I went on, but I really realized what that meant once I was on the road. So yeah, I think that's
Yeah.
the best way.
So what's van life look like for you now? You just got a new mattress, so I assume it's not completely behind you, but what's the future hold for you and I guess Ty?
Oh yeah, I will always have that van. I want to keep that as long as I can. I want to keep upgrading it, doing everything. I feel great having my home base here in Colorado, but I mean, Colorado is a big, beautiful state. Once the winter passes, because unfortunately the van is two-wheel drive. So she's kind of beached right now because I can't really move it because there's a lot of snow. But I still want to go on more adventures. I don't, the next adventure I have planned is I'm going to drive from here to Bass Canyon back in Washington at the Gorge. I want to take it out as much as possible. I want to see the country. I want to see the world because it's beautiful. I want to go back down to Arizona. I want to explore more out on the east. Just kind of build and go from there. You know, I don't see myself wanting to stop it, like it as in like van life anytime soon.
Let's before we move into the last little part of things, which is your time as an influencer, which you've already kind of touched on. Let's play the last game if we can, all right?
All right.
And this one's going to be interesting for you. I created this one called Podcast Realities, and that is, because I started this podcast myself during COVID. So, I was talking to people in all stages. They were whether they had cats running around, knocking things over, whether they had me propped up on a box, all kinds of different things. So given that nobody can really see you, generally people are just listening to this podcast. I always like to just talk a little bit about people's surroundings. And yours is extra interesting because I've fallen a few times, so I've seen a little bit of your surroundings, and we're in a bathroom right now. So
yes,
it makes it extra interesting. But let's go through some of these questions. So I assume I'm talking to you on a telephone. Hopefully your computer's not dropping all over the place.
Yeah, no, you're definitely on my phone. I had to leave my PC in Washington just because it wouldn't fit in my apartment.
Yeah. So what you asked me before we started recording whether it was going to be video. So what kind of prep did you have to do for this? Did you pick out an outfit and decide your lighting, or what prep went into our conversation?
Kind of, sort of. I usually look a lot more extra and extravagant or like e-girl than this, but I've just been working on stuff all day, so I couldn't really put much effort in. And I'm not necessarily insecure as how I look like normally. So this was pretty minimal preparation. I can flip the camera around. This is actually quite hilarious as to what you'll see.
That's going to be our last question. Yeah.
Yeah, this is my outfit for today. I'm rocking my End Overdose shirt. I'm a huge fan of Eminem, so I'm wearing his sweatpants and just a couple of chains. I'm very just simple today.
I like it. There's no problem with that. So you talked about having rats, but I normally like to ask if there's any animals in the room that haven't gotten their 15 minutes of fame. A lot of times people have got sleeping cats or yappy dogs that they are really wanting attention.
Let me see where these guys are. Oh yeah, he's in his hammock.
Oh, we're gonna see. I think we're gonna see a rat. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, there he is.
What's its name?
His name is Pepper.
Pepper.
And the second one is somewhere. I need to clean their cage. It's been a crazy holiday / birthday weekend, but there's that guy. Peanut, where are you? I think he's under the ramp. I won't be able to get him.
Very cute. So you've already kind of answered the next question. Given we see people from the shoulders up, we don't truly know what people are wearing. You've already showed us. I always say it's TMI if you decided not to wear pants. I don't want to know that, but I always like to say, you know, this is a professional podcast. Did you put on shoes and the bare minimum socks for this interview?
I did. I'm actually, so after this, I'm planning on going to the gym. So I have my gym shoes on.
There you go. Are you going to wear like the Jason necklace to the gym? That's going to be going all over the place.
I'll take this one off, but I never take this one off really unless I sleep. It looks good with the End Overdose shirt. I love wearing the shirt as often as possible because End Overdose is probably my favorite brand I've ever worked with. Never gotten paid a penny, never want a penny from them. End Overdose distributes Narcan and fentanyl test strips. Free training for how to administer Narcan and what to do in the event of an overdose. I almost always carry test strips on me, so anytime I go out, if I go to the bathroom or something like that, I will leave fentanyl test strips on the sink, and then by the time I come back to the bathroom, they're gone. Because you never know. You can't stop people from indulging in whatever they want to indulge in, but the best thing that you can do is make sure that they're not going to die. And I'm a huge advocate for that. You know, like I enjoy going to shows sober. I really do, but not everyone like is going to do that. And that's okay. It's okay. Have fun. Party on. Just don't die. Please be safe. Like this is the purse I've been carrying around. I'm pretty sure I always have Narcan on me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably about a month, maybe 2 months ago, the episode came out. But I spoke with a retired DEA agent. He's created an entire organization to try to help with fentanyl overdoses. And he talked about being a, you know, DEA agent in the 80s all the way up to just a few years ago. And just there's nothing that's happened that has been as deadly as fentanyl. So I think that's a huge thing that, you know, I've spent over an hour talking about before, but I do know the, you know, just the implications that has been for a lot of people they're not trying to take fentanyl. They're trying to take something else and it's killing them. So
exactly.
I think that's really awesome that you have those test strips. What were you going to say? Sorry.
I was just saying, it's just such a nasty substance, and it's so easy for, you know, it sucks because people just use it to save a penny on whatever substance they're selling because it can look like the same thing. But at the end of the day, that's attempted murder. Like, people will die if they do that, if they ingest it. I can't even fathom. But, you know, someone that's just trying to enjoy a music festival, and then you do your thing, and then all of a sudden you wake up in a hospital because someone had to Narcan you back to life, and even then you were so gone, like, oh, that it, like, it's just so bad, and it's heartbreaking. I never not carry it in the event that something like that may happen. So I think it is just one of the best things to, like, put out there, circling back to what I'm wearing today. These are my favorite shirts to wear. I have probably 4 or 5 shirts from End Overdose. Never ask them for a penny. I don't want them a penny. I do not. I want them to put their funds into other things. But they send me shirts because they're nice. And they're pretty cool shirts, too. So I can't complain.
Absolutely. This is an extended edition, but remember, we're still talking about the podcast realities around you. I would have just cut this question, but you already mentioned that you wanted to turn the phone around. One time when I was falling, I felt like I was in a nail salon. There's a lot of nail products on one side of the room. What's going on in all around you? Here's what the question normally is. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but you were to flip your camera around 360, would you be embarrassed of the room? You're dying to flip it around so you can, but you've got a lot of interesting stuff going on around you.
I do, definitely. It's actually kind of funny. I'm more than willing to. Would you like a 360 tour in like a brief, as brief as I can make it?
Sure.
Remember
to describe it, because most people aren't really, they're not seeing anything.
Oh yeah, 100% comfortable. So, flipping the camera around, I have a pretty big bathroom. It's connected to my bedroom, which is that way. Large mirror in front. This is what you've been standing up on this whole time, just facing this way so you have good lighting.
That's what I call a pimple popping mirror.
Oh yeah, it's a nice mirror. Yeah. But makeup station, perfumes, scissors because I had to trim my hair, lots of necklaces. I wear a lot of accessories. Anyway, coming around, just more accessories. I cosplay as Jinx, and I did for Halloween, so I have pumpkins that I painted like her little bombs. Going this way, the giant knife is because I just had to use this to cut out my mattress. Because it's a custom mattress size to fit it, and we didn't have big scissors, so I was like, well, I have a knife. I'm going to use the knife. So that's what that is.
All right.
To the nail polish.
That's like the nail mecca.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was actually a birthday gift from my mom when I was probably 15. She found a woman on Craigslist. Like, my mom did not have a lot of money. Very grateful for what she did for us growing up, but not a lot of money. And my 15th, 16th birthday, something like that, she just pulls out this giant box. And I'm like, well, this is heavy. What did you get me? And I open it, and it's 200 nail polishes plus both of those display things. She found a lady on Craigslist that had her nail salon, and then it just didn't quite work out. And so she sold everything for like $150, and that was my birthday present. So I've never had my nails done like professionally. I've never had like acrylics or anything like that. I always paint my own nails because I have just no need to do it. And it's also like, thanks mom for hooking me up with every color on the rainbow. I got a bathroom, walk-in closet with my way too many shoes. But yeah,
like
going this way, basically just bed.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I just have a couple more questions, and that is, you already talked about kind of the fun and the not so fun aspects of being an influencer. I want to ask you, what made you, I guess, first decide that you wanted to share at least a portion of your life online?
Well, it initially started because I didn't have many better things to do. I was just super lonely over the pandemic. Like, my whole life was at the shop, like, working on cars. And I'd come home, and My boyfriend at the time, him and I were on opposite work schedules. But I just found joy in realizing that, like, this community, the EDM community, still exists online, even if we're not all together. So just make these silly videos very, sporadically. And then I did have a sort of like come to God moment where I just felt so overwhelmed, but I wanted to keep making these videos. And I sat for hours just by myself. And I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting so much energy into this? Because at that point, I was also making no money at all. And I'm like off the internet specifically, like, what am I doing? And I went to a show, and multiple people came up to me and said that I made them smile, that I made them happy. I inspired them to wear this outfit they weren't comfortable with wearing. I inspired them to do their makeup in a crazy way. And I really realized I do what I do because I bare minimum, plenty for me, I inspire people to be their most authentic selves. I know what it's like to be scared to really be yourself, even when you know that you're not like the type that wants to like conform, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I read this quote years and years and years ago, and it's by being yourself, you subconsciously give others permission to do the same. And that stuck with me. So even when I was making nothing, I was about ready to delete my TikTok, my Instagram, everything, because the negativity built up and I was already so stressed, working 50 hours a week on cars and just busting my knuckles open every day on hot engine parts and just being miserable. But I still wanted to make these videos. Why? I just want people to be happy. I don't care if it does not give me a penny. Whether I make someone laugh or I inspire someone to be who they want to be, or I just make someone, or not make, but like help someone realize, oh, I'm not alone. I relate to this video, whether it be goofy or like emotional. And once I really like realized that and was able to like pinpoint that is when I started making money. These brands started reaching out and like, everything happened. If I lose every deal that I have with every brand tomorrow, I would still probably keep making these silly videos because I just want people to smile. I want people to be happy. I want people to feel loved and accepted in this world. Because it's a struggle. We're all struggling in our own way. So even if your one sense of peace that you have throughout the day is opening your phone and seeing a cool outfit and thinking, oh, that's cool. Or you see a silly video and you're like, that made me smile. That's enough. That's more of a reward than I could ever want from anyone or for anything. So, yeah, that's really what made me decide to like keep pursuing this.
And that's powerful, and that you've always got to kind of have that purpose and that drive, because when things are not so fun, you've already mentioned it, that being online comes with its own challenges, its own trolls. I deal with it myself, obviously, when it comes to the podcast. So how do you deal with how do you deal with trolls? How do you deal with the people that don't like your content and for some reason feel the need to share it?
So it used to really get to me, like, especially when I was in high school before it was actually like a job. It would really like, I was cyberbullied when like I was in high school before I had TikTok or was really like getting into Instagram, and it messed me up bad. But at the end of the day, it took a lot of like therapy and self-growth and everything like that to realize that the people that say these like horrible, miserable things are most likely miserable themselves. Also, I do not expect and I do not have the desire to appeal to everybody. I think that is a ridiculous goal to be everybody's favorite. Like, That's not going to happen. That's only going to lead to misery and disappointment. So I prefer to direct my focus to those who like accept it and enjoy it. And that's really all that I care about. I tend to get dozens, if not hundreds, if not sometimes thousands of hate comments on my videos. Yes, it gets to me sometimes. I do have a rule. I refuse to read comments within an hour of waking up. Because I feel like either when you wake up or right before you go to sleep, you're in a very vulnerable mental state. So when I wake up and check my notifications, oh, my video did good. I have a few hundred comments to look at. I open it and immediately consuming something negative upon waking up, it just ruins my day. So I give myself that sort of timeline to sort of collect myself and then go from there. Sometimes I'll screenshot it and like if someone says something crazy, I'll send it to my friends and be like, yeah, somebody needs a hug. Like, oh my gosh. Like people will say some crazy stuff. And it blows my mind. What a waste. You could just scroll. You could just move on and do your own thing. But these people are choosing not to. They want some sense of validation. And that sense of validation is not something that I necessarily seek. I don't need to be validated. I don't need people to tell me that I'm doing good because I know what it's like to not have that. It does feel good when I do have that, but when I get the opposite of it, I'm like, I can either choose to hyperfixate on the negative or enjoy the positive. It's just a matter of perspective. And it does take a lot. There are days where it gets to me. I'll get a comment that just irks me just right, and it hurts my heart to the core. You know, we're all human.
Yeah, well, that's a topic that we could talk a long time on, but you talked about moving on, and unfortunately, so my editor does not kill me for making this episode a million years, we have to move on to the end, and that is you telling us how people can connect with you, how they can follow along with you on all your platforms.
Best way to get a hold of me or really like follow along with what I'm doing is Instagram. It will be Baby Blaze with two E's. We'll definitely have to like link it.
Oh, for sure. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, a couple of dots and hyphens and
All
underscores and stuff. But
right.
most of the time, if you just look up Blaze with two E's, BLAZEE, you can find me pretty easily, especially if you're in the EDM community. I'm also on TikTok, same username, Baby Blaze. I do Twitch stream. I am actually having my PC shipped out here pretty soon, so I can really get back onto Twitch streaming. I just haven't been able to do it in a while because I just had to move and did not have much space. So yeah, main things, TikTok. Well, number one will be Instagram, TikTok, and then Twitch. And Twitch is the most like personal way that you can get to know me, but I do really enjoy answering Instagram messages. Yeah, and I like to go live on Instagram as well. So those are definitely the best ways.
Well, I urge people to check that out. The links to that will be in the show notes. I really, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you so much as well. I appreciate you.
As Blaze Porter, really appreciate her joining me. Urge you to check out her social media, TikTok, her Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Better known as Baby Blaze. She's got some periods and some underscores and all that kind of stuff in her name. So all of that will be in the show notes to click on easily. But if you're all interested in checking out kind of the cool outfits and makeup she does for rave, you're interested in checking out to a lesser extent a little bit of her travels. I know she's made some TikToks about that. Urge you to check out all things Blaze. But yeah, I really, really appreciate her time. She was so generous with her time. You can just kind of feel the energy when speaking with her and the passion she has around just trying to create content that make people smile. So I think that's really, really awesome. Again, check her out. Everything will be in the show notes. If this is your first time listening to this podcast or you haven't already, go follow along on Spotify and on Apple, whatever you prefer when it comes to podcasts. Leave a written review on Apple. That helps a ton. Go follow along on Instagram and on TikTok as well. While you're following along with Blaze, or whether you're a Blaze fan already and you haven't followed this podcast, a lot of really awesome people. You know, I've talked to influencers in the past. I've talked to van life people in the past, and along with true crime and authors and movie stars and all kinds of people. So really, really appreciate you you joining me. You actually can go back. You can go back and listen to episodes. This works for new listeners or longtime listeners alike. But you can go back and listen to a few that you missed. Because remember, the next 2 weeks there'll be no podcast for the holidays. So enjoy the Christmas season if that's something you celebrate. Enjoy New Year's. You know, the next time you'll be hearing my voice, I guess it's in 2025. So I hope everyone has a good end of the year. But we'll see you. We'll see you in January. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think. Or, hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.